They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
Hello and welcome to the Bill Show, and I'm Bill, and...
I'm Randall.
And Randall Berger.
This is the Bill and Randall Show
today. It is the Bill and Randall
Show. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take anymore!
I can tell you're ranting now.
Yeah, well, we do this each week because it actually gives us release. I don't mean
it's
that.
A medical
I don't mean
problem.
That in the other way, but it does give us release, doesn't it?
It does actually, you know, because we get to talk about American politics because down here in Australia, a lot of people just don't care until you know American politics inflicts itself on them. But listen, we've got a whole lot of things to talk about today. One thing I wanted to say is I want to welcome you to the second chair because you are taking over for B2.
B2 is on a hiatus.
He's on a hiatus. He's hiking the Himalayas.
Sabbatical. No.
He's hiking the Himalayas like Batman in the first movie.
He's going
to come back with superpowers and solve crimes.
And Liam Neeson is going to help him out.
That's right. Liam Neeson
cool.
is, what a guy.
Yeah.
So we do have a few things we wanted to talk about today, and the number one thing is it has amazed me this week, in the past 2 weeks. And we're doing the show now every 2 weeks.
Every fortnight. As we say down here.
So, fortnight, yes, which is every 2 weeks. And it gives us a wonderful cornucopia of things to choose from to talk
about. Cornucopia, I love that word.
Thank you.
That big horn of plenty kind
of
image.
Corn and copia in it.
Cornucopia,
so, yeah. Thank
yes.
you very much. But the one we were, what is the current Supreme Court. Now, before you all go to sleep... There is a case in front of the Supreme Court Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby? Isn't that
sounds
kind of
like a nice store, doesn't it?
Isn't it sort of where you buy kits and things to put together?
Yeah, you buy kits, model airplanes. It is the bastion of the white middle American male who likes train sets.
Train sets and puts all those little plastic bits together with the glue that you're not supposed to sniff.
Well... Yes, that's right. And I think a lot of people at Hobby Lobby have been sniffing the glue because
they've been chroming. That's for sure.
The Greens that own Hobby Lobby, and there is another company, and I just can't think of it. I don't even get it right in my head.
Walmart.
But, no, there are two companies that are actually suing because they feel that under Obamacare, because they're a Christian, fundamentalist Christian people own the company, they feel it's against their right to provide. Wait for it, birth control.
For their employees.
No, for their company. Now, this is not their personal rights.
Is Hobby Lobby kind of
Hobby
like
Lobby evidently as an institution. No, but evidently Hobby Lobby itself, the corporation, goes to church regularly and actually is not only... It has its own. So here's a bit from Associated Press about the Supreme
Hobby
Court.
Hobby Lobby.
The hobby horse.
I can't believe we're still fighting for this right so many years after birth control came about. It seems like we're way back in the 60s and the 70s again, and I just want to make sure that corporations are treated as corporations and not as people, so that everyone's religious liberty and religious freedom is defended, regardless of your religion and regardless of your form of birth control.
Well, we believe that real health care should respect life, and what this case is really about is forcing business owners who have sincerely held beliefs that life begins at conception to fund abortion-causing drugs against their will. And that's against the American dream. It's against all all the principles of freedom of conscience and freedom of liberty and freedom of religion that we hold so dearly in this country. And that's why you see so many Americans out here today, because this is an issue impacting real Americans, and we cannot live in a country that forces people to participate in activity that they find morally reprehensible.
Well, obviously, I'm hoping...
I have two things to say. Corporations are not people.
Well, according to this woman, she can't see why Hobby Lobby, it is an infringement of the personal rights that she has.
That they have to subsidize the birth control procedures of some of their employees because they have to give them health care. Now, there's a second thing. Birth control is a physiological thing. It is not political. It is not something to do with religion.
Well,
I'll bet you dollars to donuts.
My
that
problem.
Mr. Hobby Lobby, Mr. Green, is popping the blue diamond Viagra, paid for by the government.
That wouldn't be paid for by the government. But here's my problem.
If guys got pregnant, we would not have this problem.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the Hobby Lobby case. The Hobby Lobby case is assuming that a corporation that is usually used to insulate people from personal liability now not only has rights of freedom of speech, but also freedom of religion. A corporation itself is not an individual.
No.
And the reason corporations exist is sometimes to shelter individuals from personal liability for what they do. So basically what people say when they say they think that a corporation should have the rights of a person, the truth is they want the corporations to have all the rights of individuals with none of the responsibilities that go with them, which is a very sweet deal.
Who was it that said corporations? It was Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Yes. Which corporations are people too. Yes.
This is a fancy way of basically saying, listen, I don't feel that I should. What other things? This is a door that will open all the. If this
Pandora's bloody box.
Yeah, absolutely. Because first of all, let me just go through a few things, and I want to thank Kelly McDonald. Was it Katie McDonough over at Alternet, who came up with a wonderful, succinct, factual way to rebut Hobby Lobby. And this is very important, guys, because if they start doing this, remember the Arizona decision where they said they didn't want to wait on gays?
Yeah.
So why couldn't a restaurant under the same cover say, I don't want to wait on blacks.
Or I don't want to wait on somebody who's taking the pill.
I don't want to use a rubber.
Do you use a rubber? I'm not serving you. I'm sorry.
That's right. I don't want anybody who has contraception. So this is going to legalize not only discrimination, but this is also going to legalize the private corporation basically sticking its head up your vagina, ladies, and telling you when you can have sex. Now, here's the thing about Hobby Lobby's challenge to the contraception mandate, and this is the company was already doing, and I found absolutely amazing. This company that is complaining was already doing 80% of what's legally required before it sued the government in 2012. It was already paying for contraception that stopped ovulation. Now, stopping ovulation isn't the same as once an egg is fertilized, aborting it. That is to stop the ovulation.
Morning after pill or
absolutely
RU486.
So they were already paying for this, and the 60 to 20 methods that contraception that they have a problem with, the people who actually know, the scientific community, sit there and say, hey, listen, you're arguing that this is abortion and something that you disagree with. It's not. Those 16
stopping
other,
fertilization
all they
is
do
abortion?
Is stop ovulation. They do not stop fertilization. So this lady is sitting here talking in error when she says that it is against our religious principles to stop a pregnancy after fertilization. None of the contraception treatments that are involved in this case would stop a fertilized egg from evolving. So even if you go under your own auspices, lady, you're arguing about nothing. Hobby Lobby was already doing 80% of what it's protesting about doing. This is not about birth control.
Yeah.
This is about more rights for corporations. Let me go on and say Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which they are suing under, was done to protect people, not corporations. It was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Congress passed it in 1990. That allowed the state of Oregon to deny in response to a 1990 Supreme Court decision that allowed the state of Oregon to deny unemployment benefits to two Native American men who were fired for using peyote, which was illegal in the state at the time at the as part of a religious ceremony. This has never been a law that was meant to open the door for corporations to have the rights, religious rights of an individual. It was absolutely insane. And look, the one thing I would say, as I just summarize really quick.
I love it.
Everyone who has an axe to grind, okay? Everyone who just basically feels that they're, oh, you know, they can deny birth control, they can deny this, they can deny that. Anyone who has a bigotry or a prejudice is going to be able to execute that bigotry or prejudice with the cover of national law.
If
Hobby Lobby is successful.
Look,
we're going back to the 60s here, people.
Back to the 1860s.
No, yes, absolutely. This is stuff we sorted out in 19. The pill has never been a problem.
The birth control that America does not use? Mm-hmm. Sex education.
Oh, because that would be bad.
Oh, that would be bad if you actually taught teenagers what was happening. You know, and the fact that, you've got all these fathers forcing their daughters to remain virgins. What was that thing that did? The purity balls.
The purity balls. You know,
back to the Middle Ages.
What I'm saying, folks, is this: this is not about sex. Whatever rape is about, it's not about sex. It's about power.
Excellent. Absolutely.
This is about power. This is about corporations raping.
And it's always
you.
Men.
It is. It's about
men.
White guys showing their power.
Over anybody's
women.
Colored vagina.
And how can you actually say that the conservatives in America are not... By the way, this is another issue. We're in Australia, and this is another issue where we sit back and go, Jesus
hands,
are you guys
hands
crazy?
Off. Yeah.
Is this be taken seriously?
How big is this number, 71 trillion? Is that a big number?
Yeah, that's a big number.
That's how many dollars that America would get if they taxed these sons of bitches who politicized religion.
Mm. Oh, the church.
Church.
Yeah, of course.
All churches. Mm. Anybody who holds a Bible in their hand can get out of paying
tax. Tax the Vatican, for God's sake.
And not just the Vatican, anybody.
Tax everybody. I don't care. By the way, equal opportunity tax, okay, on this? Everybody pays tax. Everyone.
Yeah. You own property, you pay property tax.
I cannot get over the fact that if in a large majority of these protesters, I bet you,
are religious.
Are Christers. And I cannot understand why the evangelical right is so vindictive and stupid. First of all, stupid, because I'm saying this lady's up there complaining about what Hobby Lobby has already done for the last 10 years. 80% of the birth control was already funded, and even the birth control they're having a problem with doesn't deal with fertilized eggs anyway.
I'm sorry. I don't shop at Hobby Lobby. I don't think I will, because we don't have them in Australia.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, there's other stuff.
Let's go.
We wanted to mention, we didn't put him, actually, in the...
in the mix.
In the we kind of like we're sitting there talking, is this a tinfoil hat or not? But it relates to the way women are being treated nowadays. And every conservative who thinks that there isn't a war on everybody who thinks that the conservatives aren't waging a war on women, I want you to listen to this guy. This is an Alaskan Republican Senate finance co-chair of the GOP. Okay? In Alaska. And he had this to say about how he would make sure that women who are a bit, you know, they're a bit stupid. Women just don't know when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
So what he's going to do, he's going to basically get women to take pregnancy tests before they have a drink. Hold on.
A drink if they're pregnant?
Yes. This is the Alaskan Republican Senate Finance Chair. Really, seriously, have a listen to this.
Another part of this is the public relations effort. We're going to spend a lot of money on high-quality communications, you know, YouTube, social networks, television, radio. And so that's just going to be funded at whatever level is required. Then we're also going to get pregnancy tests. They're not that expensive. They're $1.50 something like that, about $52 to about $2 per pregnancy test. We're going to get them in mass quantities and then distribute them. We'll probably end up having to contract with a nonprofit of some kind to distribute them and service them in the bars and the restaurants, public places where people go, so that they can test to see if they're pregnant, under the assumption that if you know you're pregnant, you won't drink.
Senator, would you support doing the same thing with birth control, making free birth control available in bars?
No, because the thinking is a little opposite. This assumes that if you know, you'll act responsibly. Birth control is for people who don't necessarily want to act responsibly.
That's just weird. I'm sorry. What so is the thinking? Do you actually have to bring the dipstick back?
Man,
you have to bring the dipstick back to the bar and say, look, it's a minus. I can drink.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Really.
And are they going to also say, we cannot serve soft cheese, salami, shellfish, or any of the stuff that, we cannot serve any of the stuff that might carry listeria, which could harm your unborn baby as well?
No, but I think the wonderful condescension of this Alaskan Republican is basically that you girls just don't know when you're knocked up. You're going to have to let the guys kind of sit there and check it out for you. So if you don't mind, could you please do this pregnancy test before I give you a fucking light beer?
Well, but the point is that they actually have beer for pregnant women, and it's actually good for you. It's nutritious.
And the second thing that I love is that the last thing, and it's true Republican redneck shit, that if you use birth control, you just don't not. You're not acting responsibly.
You're not acting responsibly. The responsible thing is to get pregnant and have a baby so that we won't have to support you.
Have the baby, and then defund food stamps, school lunches, and any way that you can have to support you taking care of the baby that we made you have in the first place.
You know what?
Fuck you.
I bet they sell condoms in a vending machine in that bar.
God damn. Now, you had something, actually, that was also related to the war against women.
The war against women.
Once we started, we just couldn't stop. Now, tell me about this woman. She's in Mississippi.
Yeah. She's the president of the Tea Party group in Mississippi. Okay. Her name is Janice Lane. Janice Lane.
She's at home, and she's just baking cookies.
And she is saying...
Yeah? What did Janice say?
That... women should no longer be allowed to vote.
The suffragettes
just are going to have to suffer again, because this woman is saying that women's vote is bad for the country.
Is it bad for the country?
It's bad
Randall.
For the country
tell
for women to have
us,
a vote.
Tell us why.
She's a woman herself.
I'm looking at the picture.
As is Phyllis Schlafly.
But there's a picture that you're showing on
on a pig, it's still a pig.
I'm telling you something. You know, guys, the face you think would be staring back at you with Mississippi? Yeah. It's exactly
can
that
I just
person.
Try to do... I'm really going to set you back here. Probably the biggest turn we ever made was when women got the right to vote. 1922, by the way. Our country, about the time Prohibition came in as well.
Yeah.
Our country might have been better off if it was still just men voting. There is nothing worse than a bunch of mean, hateful women. They are diabolical in how they can skewer a person. I don't see that in men. The whole time I worked, I'd rather...
World War I, World War II.
I'd much rather have a male boss than a female boss. Double-minded. You never can trust a woman. Because women have the right to vote, I'm active because I want to make sure there's some sanity for women in the political world.
Oh, my God.
It's up to the Christian rednecks and patriots to stand up for our country. I'm sorry, Janice.
Is that what Janice said?
Yeah.
It's up to the Christian rednecks.
Yeah. Now, Australia, of course, was the second country in the world to give women the vote. In fact, South Australia, the colony of South Australia, was the first government... So we've had vote here for a long time. And when Phyllis Schlafly came down here in the 80s and tried to talk against the Equal Rights Amendment for women, people scratched their head and said, fuck off, we've had this for decades. You know, women have equal rights in the marriage and everything. Yeah. So we just don't understand this take the vote away from women bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yes, but you know something.
Fuck me.
Really? No, I won't.
No, sorry. It's not an invitation. It's an expletive.
And if I do, I'll take a pregnancy test beforehand. Yeah. But look, the thing that I is... First of all, Janice, It's early in the piece to actually cover a tinfoil hat, but you're up there. In fact, I'm going to give you this. Let's get our guys in here.
Let's give her a tinfoil bodysuit.
I'm going to get the kids in. The kids in, right?
Come on, kids. Give Janice a cheer.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Janice. You get a cheer from the Bills squad.
Okay, off you go. More red jelly beans.
Okay, now listen, we're going to be right back in a moment. We have a couple of wonderful... We're going to check in with the wonderfulness that is Don Rumsfeld.
Donald Duck, yeah.
And what else we got, Randall?
Yeah, we've got an 8-year-old girl who's just not girly enough.
Oh, really? For Christians. Oh, really? Yeah,
And also the Potato Heads of Idaho.
The Potato Heads of Idaho. What are they doing?
We totally do not have to take... obey any federal laws from this day forward, namely guns.
So we'll be right back with a little bit of Woo! Craziness right here on The Bill Show.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder. 'Cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. You don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it if 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49?
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Show. Yeah,
yeah. That's going to be my earworm for the next 24 hours, folks.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck you.
When I first heard that, I thought, it's the wonderful mixture, that wonderful profane mixture of the profane and the juvenile.
Oh, and the absolute truth
and the cute
and the truth. Everything she says.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's like old. It's like our the dear late great Harry Nilsson with "You're breaking my heart, you're tearing it apart, so fuck you." It can never get any airplay, but it's one of the greatest songs he ever wrote. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was Emerson, Lake, and Palmer did some. You know,
you're showing your age, dude.
Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh,
we're still talking about now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen. Yeah, you know, speaking of that sousson of obscenity.
Yeah,
Don Rumsfeld.
Total fuck. Oh, Donald Duck, hello.
Don Rumsfeld, the guy who, you know.
Well, he used to have his hand up George Bush's ass to make him talk, didn't he?
Oh, it was him and Cheney.
Cheney, yeah.
Him and Cheney.
Two hands, double fist,
You know, those guys who gave you the Iraq War.
Yeah.
Good.
The sequel, Iraq War 2.
But strangely enough, Don Rumsfeld still gets a microphone. Really, seriously.
Why?
Seriously. Don Rumsfeld,
maybe
at
needs
most,
the money. He doesn't have Halle Berry.
Yeah, but the thing is, from my viewpoint, Don Rumsfeld at most should only have a podcast like this one. I do not understand why this man...
On a five-year delay.
But listen, why any organized news outfit gives this guy more than a moment's press is beyond me. Because they always go to Don Rumsfeld as a foreign policy expert.
Go. I don't understand. And I don't understand his comment. The irony is almost overwhelming.
Yeah, that's like getting Lee Harvey Oswald to be your expert on gun control.
Yeah, yeah. And sharpshooting, yeah.
Yes. So anyway, Donnie, I like to call him, had a little thing to say about the way that Obama's been handling Putin.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen in on good old Don Rumsfeld.
This administration, the White House and the State Department, have failed to get a status of forces agreement. A trained ape could get a status of forces agreement. It does not take a genius.
Given their increasingly antagonistic attitudes towards the Afghani leadership in recent years, Rumsfeld said he understands why Afghanistan decided to back Russia in their efforts to annex Crimea. Afghanistan's allegiance, according to Rumsfeld, could have been avoided if the Obama administration had done a better job with foreign relations. He also mentioned that during the George W. Bush era, the relationship between the U.S. and Afghanistan was first rate and has since slid downhill like a toboggan.
So Don Rumsfeld, of
trained
course,
he said trained ape, didn't he?
Of course, he's talking about, I actually misframed that. He's talking about Putin in relation to, because the Afghan warlords were siding with Putin. But basically, it was about Afghani security. Mm. But the idea, Don Rumsfeld is calling Obama a trained ape.
That borders on really bad racism and like racial.
Oh, yeah. That's the soul of racism. But the thing is, with good old Donnie, is what I will do every time I hear Don Rumsfeld open up that chasm to fucking Hades
and
that fucking sewer to hell.
Yeah.
He calls a gob and criticizes anybody about anything ever.
He deserves it all. But the point is that, look, it takes a strong president. It takes a strong president not to fuck up a country when they do something like this. Eisenhower with Hungary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Johnson with Czechoslovakia.
Hmm. Annexing
of other countries where there is an ethnic population goes back a long way. America did it.
Let me rebut Mr. Rumsfeld on just one thing, and I really do want to get to what you're talking about, which is the fact is what else could
happen.
What else? What else were you going to do? You're gonna like launch an assault on nuclear Russia over
it's something in their own neighborhood that used to be part of their own country.
First of all, Randall, I know I'm going off the beaten track, but man, we did it the last week, and you and I said it. We said, man, we violate the sovereign states around the world every other fucking day. It's like we have invaded or changed governments in South America or encouraged revolutions in Nicaragua, in Chile, in El Salvador.
In Vietnam, North and South.
Vietnam, North and South.
And
we invaded Iraq for oil. and trumped up and lied about it. And now we're going around
and
saying,
every man and his dog has invaded Afghanistan going back centuries.
Seriously. And now we have the nerve to turn to Putin and sit there and go, you know something? You guys invading too many sovereign states. It's just hysterical.
All they're doing is putting together the old band. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
I would say if they invaded countries or annexed countries that had been part of the Soviet Union, that had been taken during war and had been actually not ethnically Russian, like the three Baltic states or Finland or something, I would get upset.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, I would do exactly what Obama's doing, which is to make it hurt as much as you can. You do not want to encourage Putin, who's a fucking fascist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is the Tony Soprano.
Well, he's ex-KGB, isn't he?
He's an ex-KGB.
He whenever he meets somebody and shakes hands with them, he looks at their fingernails and says, "How easy will they be to pull out?"
Absolutely. No, really, seriously. And I'm not kidding, because if you look at the people that Putin's had killed, the guy who had strontium 90 in his tea. I mean,
sushi, wasn't it? It was in his sushi.
Yeah, something like that. Reporters that were tracked down and killed. I mean, this guy is a real mobster.
Yeah.
Now, so I think Obama's doing the exact right thing and sitting there saying, okay, we're going to make it hurt. But those people who sit there like John McCain and Don
Rosenthal
and
criticize
and sit there and say that we should basically think militarily
and increase the military budget.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what it's really
what
about.
Your friend Dick Cheney, the big Dick, saying, "Oh, Obama's spending on food stamps and stuff and not on bombers and tanks." Well, of course, that's because Halle Berry gets to deliver the bombers and tanks and things, but doesn't get to deliver the food stamps, which do actually support the military because most of them go to military families.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, listen, you had another one. Let's get off Don.
Let's play the little violin again.
Don Rumsfeld. Okay. Now you wanted to talk about something that you found.
Yeah. There's a little school in Virginia, a Christian school
named
Timberlake, after Justin Timberlake, a well-known Christian.
I have the clip. You want me to run the clip?
No. Let me just give a little background to this, because this caught my eye. I mean, as a father of three daughters, and you have a daughter, you know that, you know, when they're prepubescent, they get to be a bit tomboyish, just like boys get to be girly, you know. And it's
but
just,
Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's who this reminds me of, Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird.
She's like, the tomboys. They're six,
They don't have
a sex.
Anyway. Okay, this really intelligent, really bright 8-year-old girl named Sunny.
Yeah.
Okay, she was adopted, raised by older parents. Wears sneakers, short hair, you know, maybe Oshkosh Bagosh, a bib and brace. The school said, "You're not welcome back because you're not girly enough for Christian school." You're not girly enough for a Christian school. Now,
oh God.
They sent a letter to the parents.
Yeah.
Actually, the grandparents.
Let me run the clip.
This really makes me sick.
Well, it made us sick, and you're the one who sent it to me, and I just went, oh, okay, that's
going to make Christ back in Christian people. You're a bunch of fuckheads.
Okay, so here it is. This is the girl in Virginia who evidently got kicked out of a Christian school for being a tomboy.
Well, sports sneakers and short hair, that's what makes 8-year-old Sunny Kaylee unique. It's also what had her removed from Timberlake Christian School. Her grandparents pulled the plug on her time after they say that she was no longer welcome. New at 11, James Girardi spoke with her family tonight and is live from our Lynchburg newsroom with more.
The family received this letter, Danner, telling them that if their 8-year-old granddaughter didn't follow the school's biblical standards, that she'd be refused enrollment next year. Well, she's out and in public school now. Her grandparents telling us, shame on the school for attacking their little girl.
Papa!
Sunny Kale is 8 years old. She's got short hair and a huge heart, and as far as her grandparents are concerned, is a completely normal little girl. What else do you like to do at school?
Play Tom.
She cries every morning to get on the bus. She cries when she comes home because she wants to go back to Timberlake Christian. with her friends.
Doris and Carol Thompson are Sonny's grandparents. They adopted and raised the little girl and took her out of Timberlake Christian School when they received this letter from the K-8 principal.
You're probably aware that Timberlake Christian School is a religious, Bible-believing institution providing education in a distinctly Christian environment.
The letter goes on to say that students have been confused about whether Sonny is a boy or a girl, and specifies that administrators can refuse enrollment for condoning sexual immorality, practicing a homosexual lifestyle, or alternative gender identity, even referencing specific Bible verses that affirm these beliefs. Quote, we believe that unless Sonny, as well as her family, clearly understand that God has made her female, and her dress and behavior need to follow suit with her God-ordained identity, that TCS is not the best place for her future education.
That makes me so angry.
I'm sorry,
her
man.
God-ordained gender identity. She's got to be Christ-like. They say here that we want to work with the home to mold students to be Christ-like. Well, how the fuck is it Christ-like?
I've got a short response for the Timberlake Christian School.
I am sick and tired of being beaten over the head with a Bible. Well, you must stop using parts of the Bible selectively. Yeah. The Bible also says men must have beards and cannot have tattoos.
But every
Bible thumping redneck I've ever seen is covered in tats. What about Pat Robertson? Really is a shame that we can no longer stone gay people. We can no longer stone gay people.
He used that as a comparative.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's nothing I think that gets both Randall and Bill both all of us absolutely upset is that why this one eternal question that we've posed so for 2 years. I know some great Christians. I grew up around some great people who were truly Christians, and I don't know who the fuck these people are, you know? I seriously. And other Christians that I know from when I grew up turn to me and go, listen, that we're not them, because these people are venal assholes.
They're
terrible. And why is it always I find venal assholes on the extreme evangelistic Christian side? They're just assholes.
Yes,
who would do that to an 8-year-old
kid? They impose it upon you. They impose. They're doing exactly what they criticize Jewish people and Muslims of doing.
Yeah.
And that is making their religions first and foremost in their lives.
Hmm.
They're saying that they're imposing it on us because they want to have a mosque or they want to have a synagogue or they don't want to drive on Saturdays. Hmm. Look, those religions, Islam and Judaism, are hell of a lot older than Christianity. I mean, Christ was a bloody Palestinian Jew. You know, he was not this some white guy.
Well, I don't have any problem with
that. But the point is those religions
with Jesus
are actually,
or with any either. Religion.
They are actually lifestyles. I do not know any Christians that actually live Christianity.
Really? I do.
Well,
I know people that
they do a Christian diet.
They do Christian.
I think Mormons are the only people.
Slow down there, Tex. Slow down. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a lot of Christian friends, and what really perturbs me about this whole thing, without me being obscene anymore, is that the tenets in which those people I know live by, mm-hmm. are so polarly opposite to the mean, judgmental, venal, and nastiness that I see on the evangelical right every time I look at the internet.
Oh, the Tea Party.
I cannot get myself around the fact that so many of these people are really ignorant and twisted. They're very twisted people, and I think that they're part and parcel to what the Republican Party woke up, because in the 70s and later in the 80s, Lee Atwater and the Republican Party decided they would do a deal with the devil, and all those people who were like the closet loonies of the right wing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you always saw them throughout history. I mean, and they were the Ku Klux Klan in Roosevelt's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the real extreme right fucking, you know, party jokes.
Yeah.
And that was the era then you had Republicans like Nelson Rockefeller, you had Gerald Ford. These were moderate Republicans. You know what happened? is that people like Lee Atwater and the Bushes and the Reagans, they let loose these crazy the fucking dogs fascists. Of war. They did. They let loose these crazy fucking Christio fascists into the mainstream of American
exactly.
politics.
Exactly.
And they are insane. They're just totally fucking insane. And there's a percentage of the Republican Party.
And they're turning
and then
on
I will
mask.
Guarantee you that the Christian school, Timberlake, real GOP, real GOP, real Sarah Palin shit.
Yeah.
You know? And they are fucking nuts.
Yes, but they're going to turn on their masters. These Christian
Well, they
masters,
already have.
Yeah, they're going to turn on
they
their
already
masters.
Have.
Their masters. The GOP is going to die. Yeah. And the Tea Party is going to rise.
And behind this shuck and jive of playing up to the fears of the Christian white is the manipulative hands of the Koch brothers and the capitalists and the corporations who are using this all as a fucking distraction while they basically buy the store.
Exactly. Steal the store.
Steal the store. So anyway... Not that we have an opinion. Randy, right. Idaho.
Idaho. The potato,
tell me about the potatoes.
The potato heads of Idaho. They ever since Obama was elected, any state with a Republican legislation, the ones that wrap themselves in the Constitution, like it's some sort of, Kevlar
vest.
Suit. Yeah. Yet they've probably never read it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they've read the Second Amendment. They know the Second Amendment really well.
And they think they know the First Amendment about the freedom of speech and religion. But
I'm not crazy about that First Amendment.
Yeah, they're not.
But the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Anyway, these Republican-controlled states have decided that they're going to do anything they can
to
impede the legislative process of the federal government. In things like, going all the way back to Roe versus Wade, they're voting and saying that was never legitimate, and we don't no longer have to follow it in our state. But Idaho, 1 week ago, they overwhelmingly passed legislation proclaiming that Idaho does not have to tolerate any federal laws going forward, including gun laws. Okay.
Wait, what are you telling me?
They're saying Idaho is, maybe they're going to become part of Canada? Oh, I don't know what.
Where'd you get this? Where is this from?
From the Politic USA.
Politic USA.
Politic
so Idaho
USA.
Is putting into or putting forward legislation or introducing legislation into their Senate or House.
Into their House that says Idaho is no longer has to follow federal law. Especially in relation to guns.
Well, this hasn't passed, has it?
Yeah, overwhelmingly passed.
In the House. Has it been signed into law yet?
It's been proclaimed. And I don't think it's been signed.
Who proclaimed this?
They did. It's passed unanimously in both the Republican House and Senate in Idaho and is simply waiting for the Republican governor's signature.
Oh, my God.
Legislation does not just criminalize enforcement of federal gun laws. We thought that Connecticut law
I think the Idaho people have
trumped Connecticut.
But I think that the DOJ and the Obama Justice Department might have a little something that they want to say to dear old Idaho that says basically, we just don't want to play in the schoolyard anymore and obey everybody else's laws. You know what? I got a thing. You want to secede? Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. And also, I bet you Idaho is a red state that takes up an awful lot of federal funds, like Texas.
This is what's happening.
Like Texas,
Texas is always going on.
It's a red state, and they get a lot of funds.
You'd be amazed, Randall. The fact is that a huge amount of money isn't going toward these presidential elections anymore. You know where the Kochs are really investing big time?
Yes.
Local races. Local gubernatorial elections. And that's why, when you look at some of these fucking red states, the people that are entrenched there, not only judicially, but electorally, these guys are crazy. They're crazy.
But they've sworn an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution in the state of Idaho. And now they've passed legislation saying, fuck you, Constitution.
Yes.
Piss off. We are not obeying any of your laws.
Yeah.
Because you have a black Democratic president. that we don't agree with.
Not even from America.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take anymore.
Well, that's what our broadcast is all about. We're going to be back with a couple of really nice tinfoil hats in just 1 minute.
And finally, new rule. No one can blame me when I say this is a stupid country. When 60% of the adults in it think the Noah's Ark story is literally true. Which is why I'm already sick of seeing the ads for this floating piece of giraffe crap. Although, the movie has been condemned by both Christians and Muslims, so it must be doing something right. And they say it also may lose a fortune for the studio, which would put it in hot water with the Jews, too. Now, I don't know about the elephants on Noah's Ark, but the elephant in the room in 2014 is that we are now a full four centuries removed from the scientific revolution. 4 centuries after Copernicus, after the time humans realized that through science, we could actually get a real answer to almost every question about our world, like where does the sun go at night? And why does disease spread so quickly on a cruise ship? And speaking of cruise ships, you know, I don't mind that the Noah story is impossibly childish. Okay, I do mind. What am I saying? I mind very much. I mean, seriously, people, you believe a man, Noah, lived to be 900 years old. That's what the Bible says. And when he was 500, he decided to have 3 kids, just like Clint Eastwood. And when he was 600, he and his 3 100-year-old sons built a boat onto which, in one day, they loaded over 3 million animals, all of which were apparently indigenous to within 5 miles of the boat. But get this, what the Christians who are now protesting this movie are upset about is that it doesn't take the biblical story literally enough. They're mad because this made-up story doesn't stay true to their made-up story. But the thing that's really disturbing about Noah isn't the silly. It's that it's immoral. It's about a psychotic mass murderer who gets away with it, and his name is God. Genesis says God was so angry with himself for screwing up when he made mankind so flawed, that he sent the flood to kill everyone. Everyone. Men, women, children, babies. What kind of tyrant punishes everyone just to get back at the few he's mad at? I mean, besides Chris Christie. Hey, God, you know you're kind of a dick when you're in a movie with Russell Crowe and you're the one with anger issues. You know, conservatives are always going on about how Americans are losing their values and their morality. Well, maybe it's because you worship a guy who drowns babies. And then God's genius plan after he kills everyone is to repopulate the world with a new crop of the same assholes who pissed him off the first time. With predictable results. He kills millions more. If we were a dog and God owned us, the cops would come and take us away. Why are we getting our morals out of this book? Why do people follow any of it? You know, I'm reminded, as we've just started Lent, that conservatives are always complaining about too much restraining regulation and how they love freedom, but they're the religious ones who voluntarily invent restrictions for themselves. On a hot summer day, Orthodox Jews wear black wool. On a cold winter night, Mormons can't drink a hot chocolate. Isn't life hard enough without making shit up out of thin air to fuck with yourself? Don't we have enough rules to follow and enough asses we have to kiss in reality? Your boss, your spouse, the tax man, your parole officer, your horny cellmate. without fabricating made-up new ones? Jews can't eat ham. Jehovah's Witnesses can't buy Girl Scout cookies. The Amish can't drive cars. Catholics can't masturbate. Scientologists can't go to therapy. Baptists can't dance. Sikhs can't shave. And Lord knows, Muslims can't take a joke.
I'm sorry. Look, how can we follow that, Bill? Why don't we just
I love Bill Maher when he's on.
When he is hot, he's hot.
Just so hot.
And when he's not hot, he's still hot. He's great. Now, listen, I just, you know, Noah's Ark.
All right, look,
Noah's
back,
Ark, okay.
Back away from the mic,
okay,
dude.
Yeah, sorry.
Because 2 weeks ago, you blew away half of New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was the half that had already been blown away by Cyclone Sandy.
Okay.
All right. Now, Noah's Ark. You know, it's just one of those Old Testament stories, like a lot of the cautionary tales, that was there to kind of, you know, explain away the Minoan volcano that also caused the nine plagues of Egypt and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Do you know?
Yes. No, no, I don't. Tell
okay,
me.
Okay. Do you know that in Kentucky and in okay, sorry, I've got to back off. In Kentucky.
Yes.
That wonderful Bible Belt state. Kentucky is building a Noah's Ark anti-science, Genesis-laden theme park. With a Tower of Babel and all that shit. And they're calling for donations and tithing and subscriptions and everything. And you're going to go and have manna from heaven.
What state?
Fast food.
What state?
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
They just wanted me to remind
you. Sorry. You seriously, I've been
a biblical theme park with a 150-foot replica of the Noah's Ark.
I've been in this podcast we've been doing for 2 years, and I've got an email. Yes, we do get email. I've got an email saying
you got one.
Yeah. No. Okay. I've got more than one.
Okay.
And we have 2 weeks ago, I actually did receive an email from somebody who was a caller, who was not a caller, what am I saying? But he was a listener in Florida. And he said, "Why are you so down on the South?" Yeah. Okay. Excuse
Sorry.
Me. Don't joke. Exhibit A.
Stand and deliver. No, stand your ground.
No, exhibit A. You guys, literally, not all of you in the South. There's beautiful people in the South. Okay,
yeah.
Listen,
I
don't want
to people
come
go from New York down
like
there for the summer, for the winter. Yeah,
yeah, a snob and a bigot. Yeah. I don't want to be classified as that. Yeah. Do I have a prejudice? The only prejudice I think I have is against people who are hugely rich who got it through investment or speculation. But there's another prejudice I guess I have, and it's towards the people in the South that basically advertise how fucking stupid they are. You know, it's not good enough that you have these beliefs, that basically you have to construct a theme park around something as ludicrous as taking
Genesis
as not a symbolic tale. I mean, it is not Jesus Christ. You know, to sit
no,
there.
No, he's
and
in the
think.
New Testament. The Old Testament is the Noah and.
Yeah, well, the New Testament and the Noah. Yeah. To take Noah as anything other than a parable shows that you're a moron.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, you're just a moron. Yeah, look, the Bible is a parable book.
It's a history book of cautionary tales.
Of cautionary tales
how
to
people
control
explain,
society.
How
That's
people explain the unexplainable.
But listen, the thing is that I'm not that surprised that.
But they're
that
actually,
what is it? Yeah. Arkansas or Mississippi? What
no,
was it?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. That yeah. Kentucky.
It's not
has
the deep south. Kentucky's
to,
not the deep yeah, south. Yeah, you know.
Hey, listen. We
Jack,
have a
Jack
few...
lives here. Jack lives here.
He, yeah. Jack does.
And they're calling it an anti-science theme park. They're not calling it. They're not calling it a Genesis theme park or a Noah's Ark theme park. They're calling it an anti-science theme park. And instead of Walt Disney or Mickey Mouse, they're going to have this guillotine chopping off Bill Nye's head. Bill Nye
You're
is the devil.
That That's
no,
not
yes,
true.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I made that up. Sorry, but Bill Nye
hey,
is
listen,
the devil.
We,
Bill Nye is the devil.
Bill
to
Nye
these,
is the science guy, and he's not
the devil.
Devil
to them.
Okay, listen, and we've got a couple of tinfoil hats.
My goodness!
Can I start with mine?
How old? No, I've got. Let me. One question. The eternal question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How old do you think the Earth is? How old do you think
it is? Not 10,000 years old,
or 9,000, or 4,000.
Yeah. Okay. No, there's a way that you could, you know, scientists have come out with an.
No. How old do you think the Earth is? The eternal question. They say it was developed in 7 days, yet the sun came on the fourth day. This is the old Clarence Darrow argument.
Yeah, yeah.
If the sun came on the fourth day, how the hell do you know how long those first 4 days were? They could be a billion years long.
Well, I think that's what they were.
Well, probably. Mm. So if you want to take it literally, the first 4 days without a sun could have been... who knows how long they were.
Well, that, now you're going back to inherit the wind. Listen, I think the Bible, I'm going to offend some people and say, I'm not a practicing Christian. Do I think that Christianity is bad religion? No, I don't think Christianity is a bad religion. I think some people in it are using Christianity to manipulate people to their own ends.
Yeah.
I think people who are very, very rich have used right-wing Christianity to manipulate
the people. Yeah.
And I think that arguing about the Bible is really kind of, to me, pointless. So you
it's
believe,
a political manifesto believe, for many religions.
You believe it, that's cool, that's fantastic, great. If that makes you happy and that gives you some solace in a world that is very, very confused, yes, I don't object to people being Christian. Mm-hmm. I object to other Christians presuming to want to run everybody else's life. That's what I object to, and I strongly object to it, and it's become passable and actually permitted within the right-wing religious community to more or less do what they have always done in American culture.
Right, I mean, is you look, might. Look at, right is might.
If you look back, if we're going to get in this conversation, we'll get in this conversation.
Okay.
If you look back at the religious right wing as a political movement and as a social movement during Prohibition, you're looking at this is a real, the right wing of the Republican Party really gets its roots from this Calvinist Protestant religious really right-wing religious movement that basically brought about one of the stupidest laws
Canada
put into action that only empowered people who are evil and who financed an organized crime that terrorized the nation for decades. These are the same religious fanatics.
The people and born in the Prohibition have still not come down.
No, absolutely. So there's a lot of religious fanaticism in America, and it always makes me very, very scared when I see those natives getting restless because they are. There's a fascistic attitude to it.
Okay, back to,
anyway,
are we going to play the Tin Hat theme? Or?
Well, that's why we just did.
Oh, okay.
We just went on a bit.
Okay.
Foil hats, ladies and gentlemen.
Tin foil hat, ladies.
It's that news and commentary that we listen to because we hate our own heads. Yeah. I'm going to stop talking and let you have the first one.
Well, we're talking about young earth creationism.
Yeah.
There, 46% of Americans, 46%, that's over 170 million people who call themselves Americans, believe that the Earth may only be 10,000 years old.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I think that's wacky as
hell. It's wacky as hell. But do you know who two of the maybe not totally proclaimed young creationists are?
Who?
The two of the front runners
for the Republican,
nomination in 2016, Paul and Rubio,
Paul and
Mario Rubio.
Do you have any quotes that you can give me?
Oh, okay,
of them.
Yes, I will. This is Mario. Ron Paul, Rand Paul. Ron Paul was another guy, but this is Rand Paul.
Yeah, Rand Paul.
One of the arch conservatives said, at a Christian conference.
Yes.
In Kentucky.
Yeah.
Saying, I forgot to say, I'm only taking easy questions, and I'm going to pass on the one about the age of the earth. You know, I'm not running for minister. I'm only running for president. So I don't really have an opinion. I'm not running for minister.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. I don't know how old the Earth is. Okay? I don't know. It's a faith-based initiative. Okay?
It's not!
He's the Tea Party. He is the Tea Party favorite, and he is saying, I can't tell you how old the Earth is.
Yes, you can, Ron. Yeah, there have been signings. Look. It's called carbon dating.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's pretty work. So basically, Ron's hedging on the fact of whether how old the planet is.
I'm not running for minister, but I'm willing to stand up and say I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have to go into every detail of what my religious beliefs are. If I'm going to be the minister of a church, then you have the right to ask me that.
You know something? Really, seriously, I'm not going to elect a guy who denies verifiable scientific fact.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're going to draw into question the validity of carbon dating...
Mm-hmm.
Which has been around.
Dinosaur bones.
Dinosaur bones, basically.
Jurassic Park, the movie.
Yeah,
I mean.
Absolutely. Guys, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want you running around with nuclear codes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't give you a sharp stick.
Yeah. So, okay, here's another one.
What? Marco Rubio. Yeah.
Who is from. Is he going to actually run against Cruz? Are we going to have the two Cuban guys?
What is Marco Rubio?
Okay, Marco Rubio says. I'm not a scientist, man. Just trying to be cool. I'm not a scientist, but I'm not qualified to answer the question about how old the Earth is.
You know what I sense here, Randall?
Beating around the burning bush.
Beating around the burning bush. These guys are really seriously...
They're playing both...
They don't believe the world is 5,000 years old.
They're playing both sides of the parting's Red Sea.
Because if any one of these two said that, they would be laughed out of any kind of... conversation with anyone who wasn't part of the special people.
He says...
So they're trying to hedge the line so as not to offend, you know, the special people who believe that the world is 5,000 years old.
They reckon... I mean, scientists have said it's probably 4.54 billion years old. Okay? And he's saying, I can't verify that.
Yeah, you can't.
Whether the Earth was created in seven days or seven eras, I'm not sure we'll ever be able to answer that. It is one of life's great mysteries.
Listen, I have...
mystery of life unless I found you.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Listen, I'd like to go to another sweet mystery of life, and I'm talking about Fox News is Greg Gutfeld.
You're going to love this, guys.
The Gutfeld... he's evidently writing a book now. Yes, he is Fox's answer.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Evidently, he's been writing books now. Greg Gutfeld is the wit of Fox News.
Is there a wit or a twit?
He actually did. He's doing a show that was billed by the guys over at Fox News as the right wing equivalent to the Daily Show, called Red Eye, and evidently Gutfeld's funny. But he's basically explaining now in promoting his book on Don Imus. He was explaining why Obama won.
Why did Obama win?
Well, I'm
because the most people voted for him, you dick.
But no. Evidently, it's because all those people who made fun of him in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get into a little bit of Greg Gutfeld. This goes on a bit, but believe me, it reveals a lot about good old Greg from Fox.
Stay with us, folks. Don't go away.
Here it is. Greg Gutfeld on Imus in the Morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, you know. Up pretty early. Excited about the book.
The book is about what now?
It's about the two competing things, the desire to be liked, which we all possess, and that making us vulnerable to hipsters who believe that everything that is traditional is wrong. So in order to undo and subvert tradition, they convince you that their ideas are correct. So essentially, it's how people prey upon our own insecurities and make us do really stupid things.
Give me an example.
How about the last two elections?
Okay.
You hear John McCain was a war hero. He was a prisoner of war, but he was an old white guy. That's not cool. So you vote for the young, historically significant candidate. So that election, I believe, was based on making a cool choice. And has that harmed us now? I think it has. And if you look again at Romney, whether you like him or not,
that's a really good point.
Thanks.
Yeah,
and I think it happened again with Mitt Romney, who was a capable person. He was a governor. He was a businessman. But he was boring, and he's a Mormon, and that's so boring, and you want somebody edgy and interesting. And again, if you didn't vote for the cool person, you could also be called a bigot. And in this day and age, the fact that fame is now available for everyone, you can be shamed worldwide for your decisions. So I think people think, I don't want to do the thing that's not cool. So we elected a president twice.
Now, who decides what's cool?
I say it's the media, academic, government complex. They all come from the same place, which is the college campus. And there they believe in one thing. What is cool is a subversion of the normal, the subversion of tradition. The great thing about their life is that they can tell you everything sucks that came before without ever having to replace it. So they make fun of your parents. They make fun of religion. They make fun of actual work. They don't believe anybody should actually work a real job. It's got to be jobs like I have, where I just talk.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. You would have spared us a whole lot of shit in the future if 15 years ago, when Greg Gutfeld was crawling around a college campus as a young Republican, that somebody would have fucking called him hip and laid him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's such a dick.
Do you think he really believes that?
I think Greg Gutfeld is...
The reason McCain was not elected was he was old.
No.
And he had that fucking dumb Alaskan bitch as his vice president.
Let me tell you.
Because they thought they were going to be running against Barack and Hillary.
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be the Hillary killer.
But the amazing thing is
and
that
Romney was a dick.
Yeah, he was.
And he said 40% of people are not going to vote for me anyway, so fuck them.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's true. I mean, it completely belays any probable fact that McCain can make a choice. McCain was not elected because he had to suffer what had happened to the economy under Bush. Mm-hmm. And he also ran a terrible campaign and nominated a fucking retarded stewardess to be his second in command.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of reasons that Obama won, but the minor one was that he spoke well and he was cool. I'll give you the Sidney Poitier thing. But look, Greg, the only reason you're fucking shifting that, and the second thing, that Romney wasn't elected because he was a douchebag.
Yeah.
Everybody fucking hated him. The other Republicans fucking hated him.
Everybody hated Mitt Romney.
For Greg Gutfeld, who never got laid and never got taken to the prom when he was young, to sit around
and say,
pissing around and getting really angry at all those cool kids simply because he wasn't invited to the prom.
Guys, they voted for Obama because nothing that used to happen is any good. We've got to vote for change.
Let me tell you what Greg Gutfeld was in the schoolyard.
I remember
Greg
him.
Gutfeld was one of those kids in the schoolyard that when he got the shit beat out of him, you weren't sorry for. Because he was a douchebag. He was a little fucking douchebag. And now he's a big fucking douchebag.
Now he's a big fucking douchebag that people listen to. But the trouble, and he's going to write a book that sells 5 copies before it goes into the remainder bin alongside Mitt. And, well, that's just what's going to happen. But why,
Greg Gutfeld, you are truly...
You're our tinfoil hat for today.
Consistently just an asshole.
You should have a
I'm sorry.
You should have a tinfoil bodysuit, so we never have to get any of your vibe again.
Now, considering that evidently the Republicans are very upset that they're not hipsters.
Oh, yes. Let's
do
an...
Something that I...
Hi, I'm an Apple. I'm a PC. Hi, I'm a Democrat. Yes. I'm a Republican. Let's have a campaign like that. That made Apple cool.
Yeah,
so let's have a thing says, "Hi, I'm a Republican."
Well, there's nothing ever so humorous as when the Republican Party tries to get hip, you know.
Can it ever be hip?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, to tell you, I remember one of the commercials that they did for Nixon, in which they had a bunch of
Nixon's the one
young
kids
sitting
there
going crazy for dick, and it was just that's a very terrible thing to say, but there was young kids going crazy for Nixon, and you knew that they were
Nixon's
either drunk
the one.
Or paid.
Nixon's the one. Nixon's the one. Nixon's
that's
the one.
That's right. So here is the new hipster commercial that has gone and hit the internet by the Republican Party. And then John Oliver was doing a new show called Last Week in One Night or something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Comedy Central. Yeah. Got a hold of it and did a parody of it. So I wanted to play
which actually
original.
Makes more sense than the real commercial.
It's freaking hilarious. Okay, imagine, if you will, a guy with a mustache, 20-something, kind of real hip dude in a nice car.
And owlish glasses, too, doesn't it?
And owlish glasses. Here it is. This is from the Republican Party.
I shouldn't have to check my bank account before I fill up my car, but so much of my paycheck ends up going to gas. We haven't even talked about my heating bill at home. So when it comes to energy policy for this country, I'm for everything. Solar, wind, shale gas, oil, whatever. I'm a Republican because we should have an all-of-the-above energy policy.
Yeah, and
that's
never
bullshit.
Never mind. That. Never mind global warming. Yeah, never mind the
I
fact
want
that we
all
should
of the above.
Yes.
I want all of the above, except I really solar, wind. Oh, they're so much more expensive for the return. Let's just go for shale oil and fracking. Let's frack the fuck out of America.
The Republican Party is actually getting a 20-something person to endorse a policy that would mean absolutely radical environmental problems in the next 20 years when he's about our age. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the idea that fracking or something like that would be something that kids are into today. More oil, that's what I want. That John Oliver, as I said, did this parody.
I can't
of
wait.
This. Here it
this
is.
This actually makes more sense.
From John Oliver.
I don't like it when people tell me what to do. Like, you should buy healthcare, or don't carry a concealed weapon into this park, or hey, that leather jacket is way too small for you. I can make my own decisions. Listen, do I think we should streamline the income tax by establishing just two brackets? Tja. Standard deductions are boom shakalaka. Who has time to itemize anything between ironically riding a tricycle to ping pong league and having non-vaginal intercourse with girls they met at Christian summer camp? Get real, government. I'm a Republican because I believe you don't get jobs giving handouts. You get out by giving hand jobs. Wait.
I don't understand. Non-vaginal sex at Christian camp. All right, I won't go there. I won't go there.
Don't go there.
I won't go there.
Oh, man.
I'm intrigued, though. I am
Oliver's
intrigued.
Take is just fantastic. And it came out. I could see the writer's room.
Boom, lackalacka.
It's great. So, anyway, I think that's about all we have for today.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
I hope it holds you for the next 2 weeks.
Because we're doing it every 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And so listen.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
If you want to reach us, Randall, you know people can reach us. We've had a few emails, so thank you for those emails. We're going to read them on the show next time, I promise. Yeah. I keep saying we're going to do that, and we just have too much to talk about.
We tend to read the emails that have money attached, but that's so hard to do.
Oh, by the way, there is a donate button. Go www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. That's our website. And the other thing is you can reach us on Facebook, which is The Bill Schrum and XPR on Facebook. And you can actually email us. Yes, email us at billsonxpr@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you go to our website, you can donate to this podcast, and we would deeply appreciate it if you did, if we give you any
joy. You can buy a bottle of Coke, because that's usually what it takes to put this show together.
Yes, a bottle of Coke.
Not Coke, like C-O-C-A-K-O-C-A.
No. Just Coca-Cola.
Can we go out with Lily Allen's song?
I think we have to.
Can we sing along with it?
You're going
to
be singing it all week, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the earworm for the decade.
Here we go. See you later next time on The Bill Show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder, because we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.